WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
David Lynch's new film, Mulholland Drive, was originally conceived as a network TV pilot, but the pilot was rejected. Our film critic John Powers hopes that Mulholland Drive finds its audience in spite of fears about terrorism.
The novelist David Foster Wallace once gave the best explanation I've heard of why the movies of David Lynch can be so unsettling. With ordinary movies, Wallace said, you know that you're dealing with stories clearly intended to make you laugh or cry or shriek or go wow. But that's not true of a Lynch film, which gets under your skin precisely because you don't know what it wants from you. It enters you like a dream. That's exactly what happens with Mulholland Drive, a corrosively beautiful fairy tale that's as mysterious as the inky shadows that lie just beyond the reach of our headlights. It centers on the Apache dance of two wildly different women, one fair and one dark, rather like Snow White and Rose Red. The brunette is a hard-faced sexpot known as Rita, nicely played by Laura Elena Herring, who develops amnesia after a car crash on L.A.'s Mulholland Drive. She stumbles into the home of Betty Elms, an innocent blonde played by Naomi Watts, who's moved to Hollywood from Deep River, Ontario, in order to become an actress. The generous Betty takes Rita in and helps investigate who she is and what's happened to her. Along the way, they get involved with a beleaguered movie director played by Justin Theroux, who has his own problems, with gangsters and a sinister cowboy who seems to come from outer space. As Betty and Rita go sleuthing, they even find an enigmatic corpse, their relationship gets deeper and more complicated. Here, Betty urges Rita to start exploring Hollywood to find out what, if anything, happened to her on Mulholland Drive.
I wonder where you were going. Mulholland Drive. Mulholland Drive. That's where I was going. Mulholland Drive. Maybe that's where the accident was. There must be a police report we could call. No, we could call anonymously from a payphone just to see if there was an accident. Come on, it'll be just like in the movies. We'll pretend to be someone else. I want to walk around anyway. I'm in Hollywood, and I haven't even seen any of it. Come on, Rita, do you feel up to it? Okay. But just to see.
The movie marks an extraordinary comeback for Lynch, who began the 90s on the cover of Time magazine and ended it off the cultural radar. Well, he's back now with a vengeance. In fact, along with Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, Twin Peaks, and Fire Walk With Me, this new movie reminds us that Lynch is one of the handful of our filmmakers who's been brushed by genius. Mulholland Drive isn't just the most thrilling American movie of the year. It's probably the best movie set in Hollywood since Sunset Boulevard. Wildly ambitious and wantonly intuitive, it's a touching love story, a portrait of L.A. illusions, a postmodern slice of film noir, a club-footed satire of the movie business, and a radical vision of the human psyche. It's also a puzzle of sorts. The movie takes a strange turn maybe 35 minutes from the end, and many viewers leave the theater asking, what happened? You thought the movie was one thing, and suddenly it gets weird. Without giving anything away, I'll only say that the pieces all do fit together, and that the kind of person who saw Memento two or three times will dig this movie too. For it's filled with clues, and the things you ignore at the beginning help to explain the end. But it's not primarily a puzzle. Mulholland Drive is about Hollywood, how it fills our hearts with dreams and then grinds them up. It's about how we spin stories in order to make life beautiful, or sometimes just bearable. The film's vision is bleak, for Lynch no longer seems to believe in any kind of solid, stable self. He portrays human identity as a series of trapdoors through which we tumble. Or perhaps the self is an onion. Peel off its layers, and there's nothing left but silence. Lynch's last movie was The Straight Story. This is a crooked one, but it's also his tenderest and most human work since The Elephant Man. He never loses sight of his heroine's frailty amidst all the hallucinations, mistaken identities, performances within performances, and dreams within dreams within dreams. And he gets a miraculous performance from Naomi Watts, an unknown Australian actress who's asked to do everything. Laugh and cry and make love and seem stupid and seem bitter and show how an aspiring actress will play a role when rehearsing clumsily with a friend and how she reads it later when doing the same lines superbly in an audition. Watts takes Betty from wide-eyed wonder to a lacerating awareness of human emptiness, and it's by miles the best performance of the year. She perfectly embodies what Lynch's best work has always been at pains to show us, that heaven and hell don't exist outside our heads, that we are our own brightest dreams and darkest nightmares.
John Powers is executive editor of LA Weekly.